He revealed himself through his Son, sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Jesus came, and he came as a little baby. And we celebrate that at Christmas time. And what I thought was very interesting is that God chose to send his Son and to be born as a baby and to grow up and to walk and talk and live on this earth as a man who looked constantly to his heavenly Father for input, for strength, for guidance. You see, God didn't show himself as a human father, but as a heavenly father. God didn't show himself as an old man, but God showed himself through his Son, Jesus, who died at the relatively young age of 33. Why is it that God chose to reveal himself in that way? Because certainly God wants us to know him. And the entire body of the scriptures and the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth was for the purpose and intent that we might know God and understand him and, most importantly, be with him. Sin caused a great divide between mankind and God. We learn about that in the book of Genesis. And so the entire Old Testament is confronted with this sin problem, and God brings the tabernacle, brings the Ark of the Covenant, the sacrificial system, all of these things that sin might be atoned. But we know that those were only temporary cleansings, and sacrifices had to be made over and over and over again. But then, as the prophets foretold, a baby was born. And if you study down through Jesus' life, it is very fascinating to notice how the Bible is surprisingly silent on Joseph and very, very loud about God in relation to Jesus. Who is his father? Even in places where the Jews would speak of Jesus and speaking of him as the carpenter's son. If you look at those contexts, the Bible very clearly delineates and separates the fact that Jesus is not Joseph's son. You go down through and you read the Christmas stories that we have in Matthew and you have in Luke, you will notice lots and lots of talk about his mother. Where's Joseph? There is a purpose and intent behind this, and that is because God wants us to understand this, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. You know, as I was preparing for our time together today, I asked myself this question: what does God desire to say to fathers today? What does God's Word say to fathers? What does God's Word say about fathers? You know, I started writing down different things that God has taught me as a father, and then I quickly realized there's no authority in that. It's my experience. There's places and times to share those experiences. But then I began contemplating and thinking about Jesus and understanding his relationship with his Father. And where we're going with all of this is that Jesus relates with his Father, and we are called to be like Jesus. We're called to be like Jesus, to follow his example. And so as Jesus shows respect, and as Jesus seeks to please the Father, so ought we. And what I love about this is it puts us all on the even field, doesn't it? Because we all, as believers in Jesus Christ, are to be seeking to be like Jesus. Paul says that we might be conformed to the image of his dear Son, Romans chapter 8. So this question about fathers was bothering the Pharisees in John chapter 8. And Jesus begins to dialogue with them. And we're going to read a portion of Scripture here today, and I want you to pay special attention to where you see this term, Father, mentioned. Beginning with verse 12 of John 8. And as I read, I enjoy setting the stage, and I'm going to encourage and ask you to picture in your mind an arid and dry climate during the day, and the sun is shining. There are crowds of people around Jesus. The crowds are comprised of Pharisees and religious people that are dressed to the hilt in their robes. It is comprised of disciples who have been following Jesus and are listening and hanging on his every word. There are the crowds that just aren't sure about Jesus. They have their Pharisees telling them one thing, and they have Jesus saying another. And so you can just picture this in your mind. And then spake Jesus, verse 12, again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice it says, follow me here. And I just, again, don't miss that we are to follow Jesus. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, you bear record of yourself, your record's not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you cannot tell where I came from and where I'm going. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Well, then they said unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. So we understand what Jesus is doing here. Where is your Father? They're asking. And Jesus is saying, you've known me, you've known my Father. You know, part of this message is going to be key on doctrine, on the deity of Jesus Christ. And today, as we as fathers stand here today, the deity of Jesus Christ is the most profound doctrine that you need to transfer to your children and teach them about. This is the key doctrine that is most maligned and attacked by this world and false teachers. Do your children know Jesus is God? Continuing, John 8, verse 20, these words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said to the Jews, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said it to them, you are from beneath. Notice the identity of Jesus here. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Let's keep in mind that the Jewish people understood God the Father. And they believed, especially the Pharisees, believed in the resurrection, and they would believe that they would be with God. And here what Jesus is doing is he's confronting them and saying, you shall die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. And so we see how key Jesus is to salvation. Continuing on, verse 25, then they said unto him, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, what is that an image or a picture of? It's an image of the crucifixion, okay? And now, Jesus, that hasn't happened yet. But Jesus here is speaking of that. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father have taught me, I speak these things. I want you to recognize here that Jesus speaks what His Father had taught Him. Jesus speaks what His Father had taught Him. You know, as we are seeking to emulate Jesus and His example, we as fathers have the tremendous privilege of communicating truth into the lives of our children. Where does that truth come from? How do you know, fathers, what you are to share and what you are to teach your children? Listen, though our world is full of lost fathers wandering around with children hanging on them, and they have no idea how to guide them. They have no idea what to teach them. And I want to submit to you today that you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, you should know what to say to children. Because you, as the Church of Jesus Christ, have the truth. You have the way. And Jesus here communicating to them, saying, as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And so you and I are in the right place today. Because we're saying, God, teach us. And this is what the church and the responsibility of the church is to equip and to edify the body of Christ. That we might do the work of the ministry. And fathers, what's your ministry? It's your little ones. It's your ones that are growing up, your children, you minister to them. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Not only does Jesus speak the truth that his Father had taught him, but what else does he do? He does it. He lives. He says here that I do always those things that please him. Please who? His Father. His Father. This is a very profound picture that Jesus gives us. And of course, this is a perfect relationship here between the Father and the Son. And this is a call to action for us. If we are going to emulate Jesus Christ and to follow His ways, because it is profoundly important, we need to do always those things that please Him. How do you know what that is? How do you know what it means to please God? To please the Father? Men, are you students of the Word of God? Are you? I'm going to ask you straight on. Are you students of God's Word? Because I'm going to tell you, that's how you know what you're supposed to do. how you're supposed to live. And that's what we've already talked, what you're supposed to say. Are you students of the Word of God? Are you seeking to do that which is pleasing to God? Do you know what is pleasing to God? Are you able with confidence to lead your family and say that I am doing what is bringing pleasure to God? You see, pleasure to the Father, that is special. That means something. How do we know that? Well, what did God the Father say when Jesus was baptized? Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. You see, God the Father, He desired His Son to bring Him pleasure, and you see His Son seeking to bring Him pleasure. But I don't want you to miss that in that verse, what it says right before. Look at verse 29 again. And He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. The Father is with Him. Jesus demonstrates an incredible confidence in bringing pleasure to God because He understands He's not alone. He's not alone. Fathers, it can be a daunting task. It is a daunting task that we have been called to. And I could say to men, because as we saw in this video, there are many children that are looking to men for examples, and for input, and for influence. And men, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not alone today. You're not alone. Verse 30, continuing, and as He spake these words, many believed on Him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you free? Do you understand what is being said here in this context of the truth shall make you free? Jesus says here, continue in My word. Jesus says, I am a teacher, and I am teaching the truths that My Father hath taught Me. And you that have professed belief in Me, I'm going to tell you what you need to do, and that is to continue in My word. To take My word that I have given to you and make it a part of your life. Be ever learning of Me. Disciples is a word that means learners. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Many of the people in the crowd looked at Jesus and said that He was, what are you saying? We are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? They didn't understand this picture. And verse 34, Jesus says to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You see here, we are understanding God through Jesus, and through Jesus' interaction with the Father, and through what Jesus is sharing, His truth. God's truth. Are we teaching that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin? Do we understand that it's sin is bondage? Young people, so often you are told that getting involved in the Bible and youth group and different things of the church is constricting to you, I want to tell you that the Bible says that going the other way and living in sin is bondage, slavery. Following in the ways of God is freedom. And fathers, this is a message we must communicate to our children. And that freedom is found in God's truth. It's not found in anything you and I can do. It's found in Jesus. And because look at what he says here. And this is very interesting, and I'll explain the context once we read it. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." In their homes in those days, they would have servants and people that would help and contribute to the household tasks. These servants were slaves. And Jesus here, as he is seeking to explain, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, draws the parallel that the servant abides not in the house forever. In other words, the servant is a part of the house, but not a part of the family. They contribute to the household, but they will reap no benefits from that household because they are a servant and a slave, and they are in bondage. The servant does not have power or authority unless it is given to him by the Father. But the Son is a whole different story, a whole different relationship. For the father of the household, he gives his son the inheritance. And the son has the authority. And so what Jesus is drawing here is this vast contrast between sin and the Son. And he's calling out to these people. And he's saying, if you're committing sin, you're a servant and a slave to it. But here I am. I'm the Son. And if the Son shall make you free, you are truly free. And a message of redemption and a message of release and deliverance and salvation settled across that crowd. And it settles on your heart today as you ask yourself this question: am I free? Am I free? Am I in bondage and sin? Is sin shackled me? Are we teaching our children this? Are we living this, men? Or are our children watching us shackled by sin in our lives to the point that, you know, I've seen fathers, they will live for Christ to a certain point, but they won't go any further. Why? Because there's sin. And they are in bondage to this sin. Freedom comes from the Son. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Why? Because the Son has the authority to do so. The Son has the authority because He is the Son. So the question that we ask ourselves is, who's our Father? Jesus very clearly, God was his Father, and he understood his role as the Son. And he taught what the Father taught. He did what brought pleasure to the Father. Verse 39, and they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." you do the deeds of your Father. And the people take that as saying, hey, you're saying that we are born of fornication or immorality? We have one Father, that is God. Oh, now this is interesting because now they are making the same claim. We have one Father, God. And Jesus said unto them, verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, verse 45, you believe not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. The question was, who is their father? And Jesus took this time with these very belligerent people, with these people that were ignorant, people that didn't understand, some truly longing to understand. And he takes this time to describe to them his relationship with his Father. And so we take this, dear ones, and we take this thought and we ask ourselves, who is my Father? Well, how am I supposed to understand that? Like we learned today, many people don't understand what a father is. I want to make sure that you understand something, that the Bible describes to us the perfect Father. And although there are people, and you may be here today, that you did not have a father in your life, God's word tells us what a true father is like. And he demonstrates the relationship perfectly through his son, Jesus Christ. And as we watch, and as you read, and as you are students of the Word of God, I want you to pay attention to how Jesus relates with his Father. And as you read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, I want you to pay special attention to how he continually draws your attention to following after Christ, to live like Jesus. He does that because Jesus Christ came that we might know God and be with him forever. So you are here today, and the obvious question, first of all, is who is your Father? Is it the Heavenly Father that Jesus Christ is relating with here in this passage in John 8? Have you understood the true freedom that is found in Christ? The truth that the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The alternative, according to what Jesus is saying in this passage, is you are of your father, the devil, who is a liar. He's a father of lies. Sin is closely tied with him. Bondage. He is a deceiver. Who is your father? And Christian, you may be here today, and you may... How do I relate with God? How do I understand him? Very clear that the Bible speaks of him as a father. The Bible tells us to have the mind of Christ, to think like Christ, to follow after Christ, to be like Jesus. And the Bible gives that offer and instruction to us all. I want to close with a passage from Colossians chapter 1 as we center our attention on Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, picking up in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. This is God the Father. Hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's us, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated at enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which God which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now look at this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Is Jesus the King of your life? Are you exemplifying his heart and attitude? When you sin, men, when you sin before your children or against them, are they seeing you confess and repent that sin and seeking the forgiveness of Christ? Are you allowing them to see you turning to Jesus for forgiveness? That is real life, living out Jesus in your home. Are you making time to teach your children the scriptures, the truth of God's word? That is what Jesus sought to do. That's what he did do. Are you teaching your children the scriptures? Are you speaking often of God, allowing your children to see God as a part of every aspect of your life? You read through Jesus' life, there was no doubt of his relationship with his Father. Over and over and over again, it was an important part of his ministry. Is your relationship with God important enough for you to speak of it and speak of it often? And I tell you, if you're not living for God, it's no wonder that you will be silent about that relationship. Live for Christ, and you will have nothing to be ashamed of in declaring to your children the truth of God. Is God honored by my name and by my reputation as a man? My children carry my name. Your children carry yours. I carry the name of Christ. Is God honored by my name, by my reputation? Man, it is time for us to stop making excuses for ourselves and for our failings before our children. We need to repent of our sin and embrace the freedom that the Son gives to us. Yes, we're the head of our homes, but isn't that a license to live in sin? Repent and embrace the freedom found in God's truth. Is your life about bringing God pleasure? You realize that that is the best environment to raise your children? When you, as daddy, are seeking to please God. It's not perfect life. God's not calling that out of you. God understands you can't live perfectly. But he's calling you to please him. Lord, thank you for this time to share and for this profound lesson from Jesus. And I thank you for just giving us a small glimpse of Jesus, your relationship with the Father. And God, I'm praying that you would take the Word of God, your Word, and lay it heavy upon our hearts. And God, you know it may be heavy in blessing for those men that are walking after Christ today. But Lord, the weight of the Scriptures may reveal conviction of sin. And God, I pray that today would be the day that there is repentance and that families, the direction of families is changed. God, I honor your word today. I believe it is effective and powerful. I stand behind it. I stand behind its authority. And I am thankful that you have given it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.